the most intense, thrilling, electrifying sport on the planet. Mixed Martial Arts. You've been looking for the definitive podcast to call your new home to hear everything about it. The search is over. This is the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter. Bringing you the hottest MMA breakdowns straight from the heart of the octagon. This show is all about MMA breakdowns. For fans, by fans. We're talking UFC, MMA, and the occasional big boxing match. We'll bring our unique take on how these fights are going to play out and who we think are the best bets. Welcome to the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter. And now your hosts, Olin, a.k.a. MMA Anomaly, and Emiliano, a.k.a. Jive Turkey Nano.
What is up, fight fans? Welcome back to another episode of the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter. I'm your host, Olin, a.k.a. MMA Anomaly. And with me, as always, is the co-host with the most, Jive Turkey Nano. You know what the deal is. How you doing, brother?
Let's go. I'm gobbling away over here on a Thursday, a.k.a. Friday Junior. Ready for the weekend, brother. I will say, in the midst of leading up to this, I did have the Saints game on in the background. Do not watch it, my brother. Look away. Just turn the page on it. Luckily for you fans out there that are ready for some mixed martial arts, we got a big slate ahead of us Saturday. So excited to see you, brother. Let's go.
Oh, man. I didn't know we were going to be talking about the Saints game at all. I would have started with this music.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough, man. It's also like a fucking Lifetime movie, considering we're playing against our former coach. Don't love that. Sean Payton doing that to us. Bending us over, can't even do the honor of lubing it up, man. It's not fun. It's going to switch the music. That's just sad. It is. I literally have it saved as sad music in all caps.
Got to flip the page.
Look, folks. I like the Saints a whole lot. A big New Orleans guy. I grew up out in Louisiana in the dirty. You heard me. But I digress. We don't have a fucking quarterback. Our wide receiver one got concussed a week ago. Our wide receiver two has a meniscus tear and possibly might be out for four games or the whole season.
Yeah.
Currently in fantasy football, I'm getting my ass bent over by our own fucking running back since he's the only guy we have that's doing shit right now. I don't want to talk about the Saints, Nano. I'm not happy with you bringing them up, if I'm being honest with you. I've been able to watch two games this year, and neither of them have been good games for the Saints. I'm starting to think that maybe I'm the fucking problem.
Yeah, stop watching.
Don't nod. Exactly what that don't means. Fucking nod at that shit.
I've watched enough sports and know damn well you got to turn the other cheek.
Never watching the Saints game again unless it's live in person.
Can't do it.
Yeah. That's obviously the catalyst that's causing all this. So with that being said, folks, we are here to break down none other than UFC Fight Night Pereira versus Hernandez. That's right. It is UFC Vegas 99. We are almost at the pivotal moment, folks, of UFC Vegas 100. S-Dogs MMA. What up, Sterling? Spark the joint at the perfect time. And what up, Sav? Cheers to you. I'll pour up a shot to that, folks. Look. Nano's not drinking tonight.
Love where your head's at, S-Dog.
He's on some meds right now that prohibit it, so we're not going to peer pressure because that's not what we do here.
Instead,
he's feeling poppy. He's feeling fun. As long as we're having fun, that's all that matters, folks. Whether you're drinking whiskey, beer, water, soda, poppy, whatever the fuck you're drinking, anything under the sun, Or maybe you just sparked up the most beautiful joint and or blunt in the world and you're inhaling that sweet, sweet beautifulness. If that's the case, either way, we appreciate you for choosing to be here with us on this beautiful Thursday night, folks. Cheers to that.
Cheers. Appreciate y'all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. S-Dogs MMA asks, do you boys always do shows on Wednesdays, Thursdays? So here lately, it has been a trend. We used to do Mondays and Thursdays, but when NFL season happens, you know, there's Monday Night Football, there's Thursday Night Football. So we try to pick one night of those two thresholds to really penetrate. That was a weird way to say that. But here we are.
Boy.
bouncing a brown worm. But I digress, folks.
You penetrate them all.
Being a bit of a jive turkey myself. So look, you know he's here for the boys and the air horns. Well, I mean, the air horns are going to be here, no, whether it's a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, as long as it's a day that ends in Y, my guy, you'll have the boys and the air horns. That's a fucking fact, folks.
Lego.
So with that being said, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. We are going to jump into UFC Vegas 99. This is a very interesting card from top to bottom, in my opinion. And we're not going to leave any stone unturned, any turn unstoned, for that matter. Starting off with the heavyweight belt, we have Austin Lane from the NFL coming in against Robeles de Spain, a man who could be from hell. I mean, you look how tall this guy is. He is just terrifying. Standing at 6'6" tall and also 265 pounds, and also having the largest reach in heavyweight currently at 84 inches. I mean, I would say that the dude is a freak, and that would still be underestimating him and underranking him. He's just a freakish athlete. The way that he's built, the way that he's shaped, and there's an image that was circulating online. I'll find it while Nano's doing his breakdown, or rather, I'll try to. And it's him next to normal-sized people, to put it into perspective, like just how freakishly large of a man he is. So I'll jump in with my breakdown. I'll pass you the baton here, Nano. I'll keep it quick. I'll keep it short and sweet here because we do have some fights to break down. Austin Lane is someone who's had kind of a tough run in MMA and more specifically in the UFC, right? He came into the Contender Series and went against Greg Hardy. He got knocked out in 57 seconds. Right after that, he went to Island Fights, number 50, got knocked out in 2 minutes and 41 seconds. So in less than 4 minutes, he had been knocked out twice in his professional career. After that, he goes out and gets a second round knockout over Brad Taylor at Combat Night Pro. At Combat Night Pro 13, he then went out and got a TKO win over Cameron Graham, and then lost via ground and pound in LFA. After making the big step up to LFA. LFA is arguably one of the best feeder promotions, in my opinion, right now. Probably LFA and Cage Warriors, I would say. A lot of top talent comes from those places, right? I think Nato would back me up on that one. But as soon as he stepped up from Combat Night to LFA, he did get knocked out via ground and pound in round number one, or rather got stoppage loss. And then from there, he went back to Warfare MMA 19 and then Combat Night Pro 20. And then Combat Night, and then Fury FC 54. Like, he's racking up wins in these random places, right? Against kind of regional level talent. And I'm not discrediting an Eric Lunsford, a Juan Adams, a Rashawn Jackson, right? And again, like, it's worth mentioning that Juan Adams, who he did beat in a Fury FC 54 promotion, is someone that did compete in the UFC. He's also someone that got cut from the UFC after multiple losses. So, Juan the Kraken Adams, I mean, was he a UFC fighter? Yes. Is he someone I would consider top 15 or UFC caliber? Not necessarily. So then he goes in there against Richard Jacoby, Contender Series 2022, gets the win in round number one. First fight back in the UFC, UFC on ABC5. Dana White, what were you thinking? I mean, you put Justin Taffa versus fucking Austin Lane on an ABC card. The House of Mouse is putting this on. You're like, you know what? We'll give him Austin Lane. We'll give him Taffa. I just don't know that that's the move. And that's why it was probably considered a no contest. It was overturned after 29 seconds. It was just a sloppy fight from start to finish and unmemorable, right? After that, he gets the rematch against Justin Taffa. What happens? Minute and 22 seconds in, left hook Larry makes a cameo appearance and just gets nailed, right? So Justin Taffa gets the finish, gets the knockout in round number one, a minute and 22 seconds in. Then he goes against Jonata Deniz and same thing happens. So I have a hard time betting on Austin Lane. I have a hard time believing in him. Unless he runs in there, Nano, and just shoots a fucking Bill Goldberg-esque spear on Robles de Spain, it's tough pickings. I think it's Robles de Spain's chance to come back and really prove that he could be a contender. And before you jump into your breakdown, we got to do a quick shout out, and we got to do possibly some extra air horns here for our guy Sterling. S-Dogs MMA Talk. Make sure you drop a follow on Twitter and YouTube, all the platforms, really. We got Mark Goddard coming on the podcast tomorrow, boys. Y'all stay tuned.
Let's go. All the big guns, brother. I love it, man. What are you, Thanos out here collecting Infinity Stones? My man.
Brother, let's get it, shooting brother. Your shot. Let's go.
Congrats, man. Have a good chat with them. I mean, hey, man, I'm curious to know all about what it is to be in the ring. So if there's anything we can potentially try to hear about, I'm curious as a fan. Like, yeah, what is it like in there? I mean, do these fighters, do they smell? Do you feel the blood? Like, anything. I want to know all the nitty gritty.
You got to ask him what his least favorite moment is in the octagon that he can remember and his most favorite moment is in the octagon that he can remember. And please let him know that that one came from MMA Anomaly himself. Either way, dude, whenever you have time for us little guys, Sterling, we'd love to be on the show as well. Even if it's just like a pre or post show, breaking down some of these fights, man. We'd love to chat with you, bro. Nano, what are your thoughts on this Austin Lane versus Robles de Spain fight, my guy?
Brother, you laid it up perfectly, man. You painted a great picture for me, as always. I'm going to keep it short and sweet because I think that's how this fight is going to go as well. Very short, very sweet. I think Robles de Spain is going to cause a lot of pain here on Saturday morning. To your point, Austin Lane did play football, so he could potentially treat him like a defensive end coming off the edge. Maybe he's picturing like a Patrick Mahomes or something, and he tries to spear him from across the octagon. It can happen, but probably won't. I do think de Spain, I saw enough from his last outing. And these big guys we know already, don't take the over. It's these guys are going to fight for not that long, especially once they start throwing leather. So give me De Spain. Dude's absolutely talented as all hell. He's tough. Like you said, man, he's built like an ox. 6'7", 262 pounds, 84-inch reach. I mean, what more do you want? And this dude can throw explosive kicks, knees. Really, really fun and violent striker. I mean, my goodness, like it's, yeah, I'm sold. Like, I feel bad for Austin Lane not getting any easy nights in the office here, but this is a heavyweight that I'm excited to watch go out there, and I hope to see more often here in 2025. And like Sav said, Robles by KO, Lane has no chin. Gonna have to agree with you. And what up, Gage? See you in the chat as well. Let's go. Let us know where y'all at. Let us know how you feel about this upcoming card. Let us know, obviously, if you agree with Sav and I and MMA Anomaly. It sounds like Robles is going to get it done. So maybe check out the odds. That might be the first bet of the night. Come on.
Completely agree with you, bro. I mean, look. Robles de Spain by KO, I think, is definitely the way to go here. In our fantasy MMA league that we're trying for the first time this year, Mary actually drafted Robles de Spain for her heavyweight pick. So,
oh, smart. Smart.
Your cuzzo, Adrian, I don't know if you're in the chat, A-Train. Compa. I know he drafted Austin Lane. So it's a bit of a showdown this weekend in the group chat of sorts. Hey, there he fucking is, kid. Let's go. Oh man, S Dog said everyone needs homies like Nano and Olin, my guy. Brother, I've already sent the DM, would love to have the boys on. Bro, I'm in London next week. The week after that, Nano's in Spain. After that, I don't think we have any out of country trips going. And we would both fucking love to be on the show and just spark up with the guy, Sterling. Let's fucking go, kid. So with that being said, A-Train, Adrian, we love to see you in the chat. Sav, as always, we fucking love you. And Gage, my guy. Yo, you heard me. Let's go. We're fucking ready to go, kids. Moving into the next fight, we got a women's strawweight bout between Melissa Martinez and Alice Ardeline, OnlyFans finest. Folks, this is an interesting matchup. I'm going to be honest with you, Nano. Don't have a lot of color to add to this one. I am not going to sprinkle a ton on the betting line here, as we say. Do you have a dog in this race? Also, I've got to tell you, we did pre-tape an episode before this for UFC 308 because of Sterling, what we just mentioned. We're going to be out of country next week. Can't really do that live when we're having that happen. Nano, fun fact, the Bruno Fajeda line that we talked about very vastly in the episode that we're going to upload later has shifted significantly. It's plus 120 now.
Sheesh.
Instead of plus 180.
We're going to have to get in while it's getting good. My goodness. I'm already losing money here, y'all. My gosh. Love it. I'm telling you, I think they have a bug on our cast here. They're tuning in. But this is a fun one, man. Yeah, not a ton of steam, but we got two women swinging and banging in here. One representing Mexico, my girl Melissa Martinez, and I did see it in the chat here. Shout out, Sav. We're both both on the same page, both rocking in the same boat. I do think Melissa's going to find a way to get it done. She did look good in her last outing, although she did end up getting outgassed, a little outclassed by her opponent. But that doesn't scare me. Doesn't shy me away from taking her here over an Alice Arderlin. Arderlin. Jeez, hard to say there. 9-6 record. Doesn't excite me at all. Doesn't give me a lot of confidence. And since Melissa is the Ben favorite, slim odds, minus 125 at this point. I'm sticking to those guns. She's going to have a 4-inch reach advantage. She's 5 years younger. And just a little bit of the slicker striker, a little bit more of a more accurate striker as well. So when she decides to choose to let him go, it's usually purposeful. And for all that considered, I'm taking my girl, Double M, Melissa Martinez, si se puede. And should be a fun one. But yeah, that's about all I got. Not a ton of steam. I don't think I'll bet on it. Probably just try to stay away from this one. It's a little too close for comfort from a betting perspective.
Yeah, I don't think the betting line really is doing us any favors here. Alice Arderlin is 9-6. She's kind of a 500 fighter at this point. Gun to my head, I'd probably take Melissa Martinez as well. You know, Mexico's own. And but I'm going to stay away from it from a betting perspective. I'm just going to enjoy this one from a fan watching perspective. With that being said, we move into the next one. We've got a women's strawweight bout between Jessica Penne Pasta and Elise Reed. This is a very intriguing fight. Gage, we're excited for 308 as well, my guy. We literally recorded a live show not that long ago, just a couple hours ago. So I'll be uploading that later so you guys can check that out. But in this one, we've got an aging Jessica Penne Pasta coming in against a up-and-coming Elise Reed here. It looks like Sav in the chat is rocking with Reed. I don't know if she's making a different Reed than me on this one. But I will tell you, it's going to be a fun fight. In this actual matchup, it is kind of 50-50 for me, if I'm being honest. I think Jessica Penne is one of those gals that every time I bet against, she proves me wrong. And I really feel strongly in betting against her this week. So as a result, I can't help but think Penne's probably going to win. You know, there's like three fighters I could think of that are like that, where I typically shy away from betting on their fights, but when I do, they're like, what's this? They hit the usher. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to avoid this one from a betting perspective. But looking at the odds, it's very close. If you did want to take an Elise Reed, it's minus 185 right now. She's an ever so slight favorite. So for one unit, you can get about 1.5 back, 1.54. I don't think that's a terrible line. I'm not going to bet it. But Sav threw like three extra E's in that bitch. So she's very live on this one. And if there's one thing I've learned, it's that she's got great picks and great taste. So Reed might be the pick. She's convinced me. I was 50-50 on this one. So, I mean, maybe I was pretty easy to convince on this one. What do you think, Nano? I mean, twice the fight experience, but also twice the losses in Jessica Penne.
Yeah, man. And is that your pick? Are you picking the penne pasta on this one?
I'm picking Reed, man. I'm making the read. I'm trying to read the book. You know, the pasta's maybe been cooked too long. It's far past al dente. You know what I'm saying?
I think so.
Check out our podcast. It's fun. Ooh. I think it's like the Two Straws podcast with Angela Overkill Hill. Good times for sure. But
I will have to check that. I didn't realize she's already podcasting as well.
The penne pasta might be overcooked.
Yeah, I mean, at 41 years old, definitely on the back nine when it comes to her career. 14-7 record, 2 KOs, 8 subs. That's interesting to me. That might be her best path to victory here. If you are going to maybe lean the underdog, but how could you bet against Sav? How could you go against, MMA Anomaly? I'm not that naive. I'm going to have to lean with the girl Elise Reed. She's 31 years young, 7-4 record, 2 KOs. And I didn't want to say too much about it because, I was trying to hype up my girl Melissa Martinez, but she did serve her first loss a couple years ago as well. So, it's one of those things. I like what I've seen from Elise Reed, but I use a little MMA math here. She did lose to Lupi Godinez back in September 2023, so about a year ago, a little over 13 months. Got rear naked choked out. Meanwhile, we go back a couple more years to April 2021. Jessica Penne Pasta beat Lupi Godinez via split decision. MMA Math says, I think Jessica may have a path to victory here. She may be able to say, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take some of Vegas' money and I'm going to take that plus 154 and take it to the bank. I'm not saying that. But there's a path. There is some MMA math there that I just had to say, my brother. You left a little meat on the bones for me. I appreciate you. But I'm not gonna change course here. We are going to stick with Elise Reed. I think she'll find a way to get it done. I think she's just going to be the more springy, more violent fighter throughout. And I think she'll be able to stuff the takedowns, especially as it gets into the later rounds. I see Penne fading a little bit more, like you said, that al dente pasta. Just a little too much, but should be a fun one. Give me Reed, as Sav would say. Reed.
Folks, look, I'll be honest with you. This is my favorite, least favorite fight in all of the land. I'm gonna show it to you guys. Okay. It's called nextknockout.com. MMA math. It's incredibly bad. You type in a fighter that you want to see win a fight. You type in a fighter that you want to see them beat, and it gives you the math on how to get there. It's exactly what my guy Nano just did. Jessica Penne beat Lupita Godinez.
Let's go.
Lupita Godinez beat Elise Reed. MMA math. The penne pasta, though it's overcooked, it's also pretty tough. That's some tough penne pasta, folks. Okay?
I'm not going to break on. Too easy.
Come on. That's a tough pasta there. So, could be a tough fight there for the Reed. Could be a tough Reed on the night of. In this next fight, we are moving forward because we can't make any more penne pasta jokes. Or reading rainbow jokes. Bantamweight bout, women's bantamweight, between Jocelyn Edwards and Tamires Vidal. I don't even know if you want to break this one down. I don't really have a ton of heat on this one.
Yeah.
Haven't seen a ton from Vidal. And Jocelyn Edwards, I have seen some from, but I'm just not really that impressed.
Yeah, very lackadaisical. Not necessarily necessarily leaves you to be urgent to see her back in there. I think maybe just more patient. But all to say, not a ton of heat on this one. I am going to lean with what Vegas is telling us is the favorite being Jocelyn Edwards. She's a big girl for the weight division. In my opinion, she's tall as well. She can have 2 inches height and reach advantage. And she's just a little bit more of the busier striker. So that I think all to say, well, I said that and she's more lackadaisical. I think just when you watch her fight, it just doesn't look like she's doing much. But she's winning. She's got a good record here. And 13-6, compared to her opponent at 7-3. 3 years older. They're still in their primes, but I'm going to take Jocelyn, who's kind of there now, versus Tamires, who might eventually get there. But yeah, give me Jocelyn.
I mean, if I had gun to my head here, I'd probably choose Jocelyn as well. But I'm not picking on this one. I'm not doing it. I'm just not doing it. But again, for the pick's sake, not for betting sake, for the pick's sake, Jocelyn Edwards. More experience, more than twice the fights here. I think she should be able to get it done. Also, the range should pay dividends. It's only 2 inches, but she uses it really well with her kind of Thai style striking. Yeah, give me Jocelyn Edwards in this one. In the next one, we got Brad Katona coming in against John Masumoto in the bantamweight division. And of course, my goodness. Masumoto is a very good challenge for somebody like a Brad Katona here. Rick Allen, you guys throwing down on a stream would be more relevant fight than Jones and Stipe. Why don't you guys pitch that to Dana?
Wow. Define relevant, because I don't know.
Rick Allen. I mean, this goes down to that point of like, would you fight your friend for $1 million? Brother, I'll put on the Captain America gloves right fucking behind me. Like, let's
go. Oh yeah. I'll go night night for half of that.
The amount of traction we would get from fighting in the UFC would just be fantastic. So yeah, we would do that.
Potentially be fun. We do a live podcast, and then there's somehow just mixed in. We're sparring, fighting, you know, whatever. It's all kind of, we're mic'd up, or I don't know. I guess, we can get creative there. Rick, let's talk offline. You know, this is something we might need to brainstorm a little bit more on.
Hit us up, Rick. You might be onto something here, brother. This Brad Katona versus John Matsumoto fight. John Matsumoto is an undefeated prospect in the bantamweight division. The dude looks absolutely untouchable thus far, but he's coming in against Brad Superman Katona, who, I mean, when he takes off the glasses, he's a very scary guy, right? Like, he's kind of like me, you know, like unsuspecting, smiling under the glasses. He takes them off. He's in your face. He's a fucking scary guy. No, I'm really not that scary of a person. I'm too much of a lover. But make no mistake, I can cause damage. Brad Katona is very, very similar in that fashion. He seems very nice, seems very unsuspecting. He can cause damage out there. But John Matsumoto is, he's somebody I've had my eye on, right? He's a tough outing for really anybody in this bantamweight division, which is already a stacked division. He's 15-0, can get it done anywhere the fight goes. 3 wins by knockout, 6 by submission, 6 by decision. Very well-rounded fighter. Last fight coming by way of guillotine choke win, with just 1 second left in round number 2 over Dan the Determined, Argueta. Also has wins over Marlon Basilio and Casey Tanner. I mean, this will be a hell of a step up in competition for him, right? I think Katona might be able to turn the tables here. I'm kind of leaning with Bike Arena Sav here. Katona's a +180 underdog, and I love dogs. Matsumoto's a beast, and Mary picked him on her draft, so I want him to win for her sake. Oh, but man. I'm kind of leaning towards my guy, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Jean-Claude Matsumoto. Nano. No, I'm not. I'm actually leaning towards Katona, bro. I want to lean Matsumoto, but I just think Katona gets it done. He's so experienced. He's so smart, and he loses to people that are genuinely physically better than him. And I just don't know that Matsumoto is yet. Maybe Matsumoto will be when he's like 28, 29, 30 years of age, but he's 25 right now. The physicality isn't there yet. The physicality might be good, but the mentality isn't on par with Brad Katona. The decision-making, the fight IQ, the shot selection of Brad Katona is going to be on full display on Saturday. Give me the dog in this one, man. I can feel the dogs barking in the backyard. That's our guy, Nate the Train says.
Absolutely. I love where your head's at. I definitely can see where you'd get come to that place in time, and you know, that's an opinion. And Sav, I respect it. I respect what y'all are saying. And to be honest, I've seen Brad more often, and a lot of times for me, maybe it's a comfort thing. You know, Bracatona's like a breakfast burrito. Just can't mess it up. Don't care what's in it. Good chance it's done right. Good chance it's going to fill me up. It's going to do the job. But man, this John Matsumotorola is another beast. He's another animal. I mean, he's like morning biscuits and gravy. Something that's just unexpected, unprecedented. Good. One would say delicious. And it smothers you. That's what's going to end up happening here. I'm getting hungry. I want breakfast food now. No, all jokes aside, John Matsumoto seems legit. I know it's been a short stint. I know he's only 25 years old. And you know I like my young bucks. So, Sav, bear with me here as I go down the same train I always say. But 7 years or more, you got to go with the young buck. And Brad has done good. He has a good IQ. But, man, you know, what happens when rock meets metal, right? I mean, it's too...
The same thing bulls. That happens when the Broncos meet the Saints, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, no.
Not good. Well, not good.
Yeah, and I don't know who's who in this scenario. We'll find out Saturday. But I'm going to lean the Vegas favorite here. I am going to go with the young up-and-comer. He's explosive. He's willing to take some chances. And I am curious to see how he looks in some of those exchanges. To your point, Brad's IQ can potentially allow him to win, maybe early on or throughout. Wouldn't be surprised if maybe it just comes down to a couple of those situations and Katana is able to get some takedowns or just be a little bit more offensive or just win as kind of like a points, maybe not in style points, but just in overall points. Yeah, man, I wouldn't be surprised. Sav, not calling y'all crazy, but I'm leaning the favorite again. Although I do think this is one of the dogs that has the best chance to win, I'm gonna have to keep this dog in its kennel, and I'm sticking with the Vegas favorite here, and John Matsumotorola.
Well, I love your enthusiasm. It's the same enthusiasm I had for the Saints game at the opening when Breeze walked him out, but yeah. It is what it is, man. It is what it is. Gage said in the chat, don't even talk about the game. You know how Saints fans and LSU fans are when we lose. I'm pissed right now, LOL. To which I, of course, responded with, look, I've been able to watch two games this season. The Thursday night game tonight and the Monday night game. Neither of those games are really fun games to watch. So, ay. And I also agree with Sav here, man. This wouldn't be fun if we all agreed. So, me and Sav against fucking the turkey here tonight, brother. Turkey's getting fucked like it's Thanksgiving tonight.
Hello.
Where's the stuffing? With that being said, we are on opposing sides of the spectrum here, folks. And we are moving into the flyweight main event of the preliminary card, folks. It is Mateos Nicolau and Asu Almabayev. One of the funner names to say in the flyweight division. Almabayev. I'm gonna buy of some of this later. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna buy of it all. Look, this is a fun fight. Just as fun a fight as it is to say these men's names. Mateos Nicolau is just an absolute stud. Very, very well-rounded fighter. Asu Almabayev has just kind of exploded onto the scene here, in my opinion. Whereas Mateos Nicolau has been a guy for some time. But even in the short time that Asu Almabayev has been here, he's kind of dwarfed him, right? He came in for Brave FC or Brave CF, getting that rear naked choke, very flashy in round number two over Kenneth Meningat, and then makes his debut in the UFC over Ode Osborne, getting a rear naked choke again in round number two. Then he gets CJ Vergara, gets a decision, which, I mean, that didn't age super well. Looking at CJ Vergara's performance this last weekend, we talked about him running away from his opponent. And Jose Johnson, he got the decision win over as well. Two unanimous decisions, two rear naked chokes for his last four. The dude is on a stunner of a fucking tail right now, of a tear right now. And he finds himself standing across from Mateus Nicolau, who is just an absolute gamer from Brazil, from Belo Horizonte, Minas Gerais, Brazil. 31 years, 9 months, 1 week, and 6 days old is flyweight contender Mateus Nicolau. 30 years, 8 months, 3 weeks, and 3 days is his opponent, Asu Zulfikar Almabayev. Look, man, I think Almabayev gets this one done. I think he controls the dance, or rather leads the dance, controls the pace across the distance of this fight. And I truly think that the bet here is Almabayev by decision. Nano, what you got?
Oh, man, I love it, brother. Great breakdown. And I am going to go ahead and hop over this imaginary line. And I'm gonna agree with you on this one, my brother. I do think that the young, shiny new toy, the young kid here, the stud representing Kazakhstan, Asu Almabayev, is going to be a guy that we're going to have to get familiar talking about here. As much respect as I have for Mateus Nicolai, I do think he's game. Do think he's been a staple in the division, but this guy Asu is no freaking joke, man. He's no freaking joke. He has not lost since 2017, twice. One of those people specifically being a Tagir Ulanbekov, who that name is ringing any bell, but you can't place your finger on it. Look no further than a few spots up from Asu at number 14. Tagir Sin at the 11th spot, okay? Happenstance, man. I know Asu's circled that one on his calendar, but again, has not lost in the last 7 years. Dude is on a blitzkrieg, just skyrocket to the top. And you really earned my respect with some of those most recent wins, right? Ode Osborne getting the RNC on him. Badass. Ode's a legit UFC contender. That was his debut. Being CJ Vergara, yeah, you can make a case not necessarily aged the best. But then Jose, no way, Jose Johnson. Yeah, man. I mean, those are all great things. So I like what I'm seeing from Asu. I think stylistically, he just makes a tough night for anybody. 3 KOs, 9 subs to complement, you know, those 20 victories that he has. Although Mateus has 5 of his own, I just think Asu operates at a different level in terms of the speed, the pressure, like the strength, the ferocity. Like he's one of those guys. So I'm liking what I'm seeing from Asu. Asa. You can also Asa. Pronounce it as well.
Asa.
So give me Asa. Let's go, baby. Come on.
Asa Almabayev and Asa Stardust Fire. Welcome to the channel. Howdy, y'all. I am just hyped for 308 over here. So fun fact, we actually just recorded our UFC 308 episode right before this, so that way we could post that, because I'm going to be out of town next week. And then, of course, the following week, Nano's going to be out of town. So couldn't really coordinate our schedules to do anything live for that one, but we will definitely be posting that in the coming day or two. In the coming day. I leave tomorrow at 4 p.m. for London, so it'll be posted before then. With that being said, folks, Asa Almabayev, let's hear the best behind it. With that being said, I'll let this man say it better than I ever could.
It's time!
That's right, Bruce. It's time for us to go over the main card, folks. With that being said, we have to address the elephant in the room first and foremost here. We have a canceled bout between Brady Heestand and Jake Hadley. Unfortunate news, but it is what it is, folks. Instead, get Jake Hadley against Cameron Smotherman. Imagine your last name being Smotherman and then you becoming a UFC fighter. I hope he's a grappler and I hope that he just has a smothering style. Smotherman? Come on! It's too easy, folks. It's fucking too easy. It's like a Christmas gift here, folks. Just fucking chime the Christmas bells already. With that being said, we do have a fight to cover before then, and it is a hell of a fight. It is Darren the Damaged Elkins coming in against Daniel Pineda in a featherweight bout. Oh, man, Darren the Damaged Elkins is one of those guys that just invokes fucking excitement in me, because every time he comes out there, you just know it's going to be a bloodbath. I'm excited about this one. I can't wait to see it come out. Both these guys have 28 wins. Daniel Pineda has 16 losses. Darren Elkins has 11 losses. These guys are two men who are just unafraid to sign the dotted line, unafraid to say yes to a fist fight, and unafraid to bleed their own blood. And as a result, I'm probably not picking a dog in this fight. I'm not going to bet on this one. I just want to enjoy it. I just want to have fun and watch it. But gun to my head, who am I picking? Brother, we're going with damage here. We're going with damage. Maximum effort, maximum damage, maximum carnage. Gimme Darren the Damage fucking Elkins. A-Train's Adrian Gonzalez said, let's pour a shot for being Friday tomorrow and placing those bets, boys. I'm down. I'm doing it right.
Let's fucking go. Now, you know, kid. The vibes. Say less, I got kid. Elkins as well. We'll keep it short and sweet here. Keep it chugging.
Oh,
keep
my it gosh. Is it the Trinity? You, me, and Sav all riding the same fucking pony here? That's a strong pony to ride, support baby. That load.
Come on.
Let's go.
They don't call it horsepower for nothing.
Yay. Cheers, yay. Folks. A-Train, I know you got one poured up. If you drink, drink. If you don't, drink water, folks. Either way, we appreciate you being here on a Thursday. Friday.
Do it responsibly. Salute. Oh, baby. Little poppy action.
Let's go. Stardust Fire said, I'm going to start placing bets tomorrow when I get paid. That's right, baby. Let's go. Stardust, I'd love to hear who your bets are on. Do you have any bets that you're very excited about for this weekend's card? And more importantly, or just as importantly, if you have any bets you're really excited about for that UFC 308 card, once we upload that video, make sure you smash that bell for notifications so you see when it pops up. Leave a comment below and let us know who your picks are on. And more importantly, who your bets are on for UFC 308. I actually can't wait to see your picks. Nano. I mean, we're all on Darren Elkins. You didn't have any extra color to add to that, yeah?
Nah, I think you hit it. You know, I think both guys are going to go out
there. It's a Darren Elkins fucking show out here, baby. Can we sound the air horns up in here? Let's go, kids. Let's go.
Ain't no other way. That's what we're rooting for. It is a true toss-up, and Vegas thinks so as well.
And Sav with the fatality.
Fatality.
I just want to sit with the cool kids, you know, at least for one fight.
Sheesh.
Now. Come on. I love it. Every dog has his day. Every dog has his day. That's it.
So now we get to talk about one of the best names in MMA. The man you've never heard of, but maybe you have heard of after Saturday night. That is Cameron, the smother man, coming in against Jake Hadley. Nano, I'm going to let you take the lead on this one. What do you know about smother man, if anything at all?
Yeah, I'll be honest. Not too much, my brother. Not too much. I did have to look him up a little bit. It took me a while to realize he did have his Dana White Contender Series debut back in 2023. Did get put away, unfortunately. But he went out of the UFC, took care of business, and went on a three-fight winning streak since then. So he did everything he had to do. He actually beat Amanda Gutierrez. I actually recognize that name from The Ultimate Fighter. But that's about it. That's all I got for you, brother. I'm curious to see where his skills are at this point. I mean, that's a lot. That's a long time. The kid's young. He's still sitting at an age here, 27 years young. Jake Hadley's not too much older at 28 years old, 11-3, 3 KOs, 5 sub. He's been preparing for a fight. The other thing that scares me with Cameron is he has taken this fight on literal a few days' notice. Just got the call, and it's a big one, right? It's your chance to get into the UFC. It's on short notice. You know he's going to be motivated as all hell. How ready was he staying? That's tough, but that's also something to think about for our boy White Kong here and Jake Hadley, right? I mean, hey, you're preparing for somebody else. Now you got this new guy. Don't really know much about him. How do you game plan? I will say Jake Hadley is probably going to be loud and boisterous. He's a loudmouth kind of talker. He certainly will not shy away and let him know if he thinks he's nothing but bullocks, and if he's gonna go out there and beat his ass or whatever. He's very loud about it, so maybe he's not sweating it, but those are things to consider. Again, I'm gonna lean Jake Hadley, the Ben favorite, I believe, but again, this is all short notice, so unless Cameron was someone I felt a little bit more comfortable with, whether it was the eyeball test or having a little bit more trends to go his direction. It's just it's tough. I think Jake Hadley's probably gonna find a way to get it done. What you thinking, brother?
Well, just to be different, I'm gonna lean against you, man. I originally have Hadley in this, and I'll be honest with you. I think Hadley probably does get it done, but just to be fun, just to lean against the grain here, cut against the grain, so to speak. I'm gonna poke some holes in the ship here. Cameron Smotherman, the babyface killer, though he did come off of a loss in the contender series due to a straight right hand followed by a ground barrage of punches, that was to Charlemagne Gregorio, who is very inconsistent. Like, he either comes out there looking like a Greek warrior, or he comes out there looking like something else, right? And on that night, he came out there looking like a Greek warrior. So good for him. You know, we'll sound the air horns for the guy. But it is what it is. When it comes to Cameron Smotherman, I think it's actually going to be a really nice fight. I think it could be a situation where the underdog comes out there and really surprises a handful of people. He's plus 360 right now. I really like those odds just because of the fact it's plus 360. You put one unit down, you get 4.6. I think I might have to do a fifth of a unit on this one, maybe a half unit. I'm feeling pretty fucking happy right now with the wealth, so we'll do it. And I think it's worth mentioning that he does have a win in round number 3 over Armando Gutierrez, who just competed on the Ultimate Fighter series this year. Granted, he didn't win. Right, he lost. Did Mando Gutierrez to, gosh, who? It's the Renegade is his nickname. I know. Cody Gibson, the Renegade. Cody the Renegade Gibson beat him. I don't think Jake Hadley's anywhere near the level of the Renegade, if I'm being honest with you. I just think the Renegade is leaps and bounds higher than him. And for him to even step in the octagon with that guy, take those shots, I think that probably taught him a lot. He's had some time to kind of come back and gain from that. And, oh man, I just think that this is going to be a really, really good fight, right? He beat that guy. He beat Mando. He beat Ryan Cuse after that via split decision, albeit a split decision. And then he also got an anaconda choke in his last fight, which is worth mentioning. Granted, it was around 3 anaconda chokes, so final round of the fight. Anaconda is not a very conventional choke. It's not something you see pulled off very often. So that tells me that not only is he game for a submission or live for a submission, but he's like a traditional Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu practitioner, right? Every time I say Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu now, I think of Theo Von's fucking joke. Man, when my first friend told me about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I thought he got a new dog. I was all, oh man, that's sick. A Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu? How old is she?
Sounds fancy.
Sounds fancy. No, I agree with Saf here. I think this is going to be a fun fight in Stardust. That's a rough last name. I got to be honest with you. I disagree. I don't think it's a rough last name. I think he's not owning up to it. It's like having the last name Philly. If my last name's Philly and my nickname isn't Touchy, I'm missing an opportunity to win. Andre Touchy Philly turned a weird last name into a great nickname.
That's fair.
If my name is Cameron Smotherman, my nickname is The Cameron The Smotherman.
That's fair.
And then I wrestle fucking you every fight.
Yeah, I just know on the playground. That's a tough name to grow up with. I'll just say that. I can already tell.
Olin wasn't necessarily the best one. Being honest with you,
imagine being Olin Smother the Man, like Sav saying here, and you could smother the man.
That's why my nose does this, because I had the name Olin, and I also had a mullet, which didn't help. After I bend it, it always like stays so crooked.
There you go. Set it back.
It's bad. It's so bad. The viewers are like, "Oh my god, I never noticed how crooked it was." It's bad, kids. Moving into the next fight, though, we have a flyweight bout to distract you. Charles Energy Johnson coming in against the, did they win the MMA Anomaly Comeback of the Year award last year? Sumu Dargi versus Matt Schnell? I think they did. Right? Yeah. So Sumu Dargi, yeah. dropped Matt Schnell more times than I care to admit. And Matt Schnell somehow came back and won it. Man. You know what? I'm actually going to let you take the lead on this one because I do have a lot of thoughts on this one. Charles Johnson is one of the guys I drafted in our fantasy league.
Nice, brother. Nice.
And shout out to Stardust Fire for rocking the fucking mullet, kid. Let's go,
baby. I love it. Love to see it. Love to hear it. I do think Charles Energy is going to find a way to get it done here. Although Suma Derji is going to come in and bring some problems to the table, representing China. He's got a 16-6 record, same exact as his opponent. So it's not like anyone has an advantage there. Charles Energy is a little bit older. He's going to have 2-inch deficit on his reach. But it boils down to style, right? And styles make fights. And I do think Charles Energy is going to come in and deploy a very unique arsenal that I just don't think Sumu is really going to be equipped to handle, to be honest. Although the Tibetan Eagle has had some highs in the UFC, going on a 3-fight win streak, did most recently lost to, like you mentioned here, our boy Matt Schnell, which is 2022, so maybe not this last year, 2 years ago. And then since then lost to Tim Elliott as well via triangle. Both of them are actually triangle chokes, which is interesting to see now. But give me Charles Energy. I'm curious to hear your breakdown, and I want to hear more of the color you're going to add to it, but you know, Charles Energy represents St. Louis, Missouri, on a 3-fight win streak. And really that last win against Joshua Van really made me a fan. Jake Cadley, obviously, as well, getting the W over him. We just talked about him. Loudmouth, young up-and-coming prospect, took care of him. Joshua Van, similar kind of vibe here. Both guys looking to make that next step. Energy got it done. I kind of bet against him there, I'll be honest. So not making that mistake twice. Give me Energy, but let me hear from my other G next to me your thoughts on SJ Energy, baby.
Let's fucking go. And shout out S-Dogs MMA on Twitter giving us the retweet saying, "You are the man. You are one of the most slept on podcasts in the game right now." Bro, that shit makes my day, bro. Seriously. All the fucking air horns for that guy. We appreciate the hell out of people like you, man.
Good Sterling. Things having to good people, and he's obviously one of them. Let's go.
Seriously, he's a real motherfucker. And I dude just had John Anik on his podcast for his birthday. Now he's having Mark Goddard, arguably the best ref in the game right now. Like, come on.
Come on. Swinging a hot bat.
Let's go. With that being said, Charles Energy Johnson, we got to jump into this breakdown, folks. My lucky number, you guys might not know this, I've read Marvel comic books since I was about 5 years old, to the point of having the bruised and beaten Captain America shield tattooed on my left arm from Captain America, the Fallen Son, alternate variant print number 2, I think, second print issue, issue number 4. That's where that shield came from. That's what kind of nerd I am, right? So with that being said, my lucky number is 616. Right? The mainstream Marvel Universe. I read that number when I was probably like 6 or 7 years old. Ever since then, I think I've seen that number every single day of my life. And now looking at this fight, I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I can't help but see the fact that both men in this fight have 6 losses and 16 wins. It's a battle of 6-16s here, folks. Come on. It's
gotta
a
love it.
Crazy.
Gotta come love on. It.
It's the battle of the 6-16s here, folks. So with that being said, that doesn't mean a goddamn thing as far as who I'm choosing. I'm picking Energy. Let's go. Winter Soldier is the best Marvel film by far. Fun fact. That's also the first movie that the Russo brothers directed for the MCU. I was worried whenever they got that gig because do you know what movie they directed before then? It was fucking You, Me, and Dupree with Owen Wilson and those guys, right? And I was like, oh, these guys are going to do a Captain America movie? I don't really know if that's the move. But then a week after they got the gig, I read on an article, because again, I'm that fucking nerd, on comicbookmovie.com, shout out CBM, that they had coffee with Ed Brubaker. Now, Ed Brubaker inspired the issue that got me to get this tattoo. Ed Brubaker won 3 Will Eisner Awards for 3 years in a row, which had never been done before. all for the same title of Captain America for his 25-issue run leading up to, you may have heard of this one, folks, even if you haven't read comics, Marvel's Civil War, which was the title of Captain America, movie number 3. So, they met with the guy who reintroduced Bucky Barnes from being the Boy Wonder Robin-esque sidekick. And they were like, hey, we're doing this Winter Soldier movie. We know you wrote it in comics. These are our changes that we're thinking about making. What do you think? Oh, and by the way, he was one of the fucking guys in a lab coat in the lab with Bucky Barnes in Winter Soldier. Ed Brubaker, the writer that reconceptualized the character and made him incredible. I mean, that's a fucking MCU.
Brutality.
Come on. They did it right, folks. Come on. You made me go off on that tangent there, Stardust Fire. Yeah, that's obviously my favorite MCU movie as well. I have the full-size metal Captain America shield in the backdrop. Hearing my nephew this year ask me if I dress up as Captain America with him for Halloween was basically like the best moment of my life. So with that being said, we're jumping back into UFC, folks. As far as the MCU goes, it doesn't get more UFC than Captain America. He beat up GSP, okay? He is the lineal middleweight champion of the UFC, I think. And also, you can get GSP's character's gloves from the Hayabusa website, Batroc the Labor. Shout out to that. They're very good quality gloves. They're the same ones that make the Captain America ones in the backdrop. So, folks, with that being said, I got Charles Energy Johnson. I think he's going to just utilize the wrestling game here. He's underrated and constantly gets fed wrestlers, though. So if you let him strike, he's a terrifying son of a bitch. He's actually got a really, really nice Muay Thai fundamental style. I think we're going to probably see a lot of knees in the clinch here. I look to see Charles Johnson just completely outmaneuver him and cut angles that Sumudarji is not used to seeing here. As much as I love Matt Schnell, he does leave his head on the center line. That's not something that Charles Johnson is going to do for you. So give me Charles here all day to rack up a lot of fucking points for me. And moving into the next one, I also have another fighter that's on my my fantasy draft here in Habe Fanch, going again against Kyler Matrix Phillips. I feel like you're going to pick against me on this one, Nano. You got Matrix, don't you, kid?
Boy, is he fun and flashy. It's hard for me to bet against him as well. Yes, and he's a little bit of a favorite here. Ooh, my line just moved a little bit. He's -455 favorite. Yeah, man, I think he's special, bro. And he's just getting into his own at 29 years old. Rob Font's at 37. But talk me out of it, man. I'm open. I'm listening. What you got for me? Tell me about Rob Font. Uh-oh.
I hit the double mute. I hit the fucking double mute. Look, I'm going to agree with you, and I'm going to agree with Sav here. But I'm also going to play to my own agenda. So do I think Kyler Matrix can win this fight? Yes, absolutely he can win this fight. And I agree with you, Seth. Kyler is a future champ. The same way that our very own Tatsuro Taira, Mr.
I'm happy to go!
Is also a future champion. Okay, and when he is a champion, you can watch this podcast and hear me scream into the mic.
I'm happy to go!
But right now is not that time. Okay, as Aragorn once said in Lord of the Rings, there is a day the power of men will fail, but it is not this day, okay? And when it comes to Saturday, I will tell you, there is a day when the power of a fundamental jab will fail, but it is not this day, okay? Habe Fanch has one of the best jabs, if not the best jab in all of bantamweight. I will die on that hill, okay? I think Habe Fanch has a really incredible jab. Fundamental, the way that he just... He flicks it out and turns it over every time. And just flicks it. And when it hits you, you're like, it hurts more than a jab should hurt. A lot of people use a jab as a test and just a testing of range in general, right? A range finder is what we've heard John Anna call it. He's using that jab out there like a range finder. If you throw a jab with power, people lose connection to the internet. Folks, that's what the brain sounds like trying to reconnect after that jab hits from Habib Hound. This is going to be one of those fights. Kyler Phillips is a son of a bitch. He's really good. He's got really noteworthy wins under his belt already in the UFC. I just think that maybe this is too much too soon for the young man. And I know a lot of people on Tapology, to the tune of 1,511 people voting, and 84% of them, right, saying that he gets it done, Kyler Phillips. I'm against the masses, you know? Captain America once said that it doesn't matter if the whole nation says that something that's wrong is right. It is your job as an American citizen to plant your feet like a river of truth in that river and tell them no, you move. And that's what I'm here to do, folks. I'm here to say no, you move. Javi Fonch is going to hit him with that fucking jab. And then out of nowhere, it's going to be all over. Just that Thanos snap is going to happen, brother. And the consciousness of the Matrix is going to disappear. He's going to wake up and realize all along he should have taken that blue pill, brother. No, all jokes aside, though, I do think Rob Font gets it done. I think the jab is going to be the real differentiator here. The footwork and the jab. how funny. My Wi-Fi lagged as soon as she said people's connection to the internet. It's magic.
That's a warning.
That voodoo, that Louisiana voodoo, baby. I'm about to make a name for myself out here right now. Nano, who you got in this one, man? I know you're not going Javi Fonch. Tell me why you got the Matrix.
Yeah, man, I just think stylistically, I liked what I saw from Kyler most recently. It's unorthodox. It keeps you guessing. It's hard to get your reads. And you did mention Javi Fonch is a big, big tool in his toolbox there. His hammer, the silver. Yeah, it's that jab that you're throwing out there extremely fast. But it's hard to really calculate that jab and to land it all the time when you have a moving target and someone that's rhythm is not jumping to the same beat. It's not in tune. There's no consistency. Kyle Phillips has done a really, really good job of developing his own little unique style to him. And I think we're going to see it displayed on Saturday night. And it's tough, right? I mean, it's not like I can say a lot of bad things about Rob Font, but I guess just to continue to compliment Kyler Phillips, like, again, last performance went out there, took care of business. He's starting to get that win streak going, has six finishes. I mean, man, everything's trending the right direction. And unfortunately, Rob being 37 now, right, 8 years older, you know, I'm the fault going to just lean the younger fighter typically. But I just think Rob's got a lot of wear on those tires. I don't know how much tread is left. And Kyler Phillips just, man, looks like he's doing all the right things to be someone we're going to be talking about for a few years here. But those are my two cents. I am going with the Matrix. And just like in the Matrix, Neo, he might be the one. Let's go, baby.
Man. I don't love it, but I respect it. I do respect it. It is what it is, man. And with that being said, we are men divided, and we are moving into the main event of the
evening. It's time!
It is time, Bruce, for a good old-fashioned middleweight scrap between Anthony Fluffy Hernandez coming in against not the man from Dodgeball, not the fitness consigliere, Michel. We're talking about a different Michel. We're talking about Michel Pereira. This man is an absolute beast. He might not do the most fight IQ worthy moves in there. He might do a backflip and accidentally kick a man in his nutsack, but that's okay. I've learned not to bet against this man. And I don't know that I ever will again. You know, I've made that mistake. And as the kids say, I've been hurt again. Or I've been hurt before. I don't want to be hurt again. And that's how I feel when it comes to the Michel Pineda fight. He's 31-11. The man has like 40 plus fights, right? 42 fights. But I like Anthony. He's fluffy. And he's also cost me money before. It's tough, though. I just think Michel Pineda is one of those guys that came off the fucking barrel very hot, very crazy, very wild, and just throwing just wild shit at the wind. And now he's kind of relaxed a little bit. He's settled into the UFC tenure, and now he's throwing like real game plans together, and it shows that he's a problem. Another person with a very strong jab, but he follows it up with the cross a lot more often. He likes to really inflict damage. And his last couple fights, he actually started doing the DS slap, which is a fun addition to the arsenal, right? So give me Michel Pineda. Me and Sav chatted about this one earlier on the Insta. We're never going to bet against this young man again. So it is what it is with this one.
That's it.
I mean, look, Stardust, I want to put my money on Hernandez too, but I'm just not going to. Because realistically, I probably just won't bet on this one. I've lost money on both guys before. And again, like I've been hurt before. I don't want to be hurt again. Instead, I'm going to do a shot tonight while Nano does his breakdown right now. And I'm just going to not bet on this fight and watch it as a fan while I'm in London. So see what all you London folks go through when you have to stay up till fucking 2 a.m. to enjoy these fights or 5 a.m. Either way, Sheesh. We out here. I'll be tweeting.
Hell yeah. Love it, brother. On the other side of the pond. That's awesome, man. But yeah, this is a good matchup. This is a matchup of styles, and we're going to see how these styles clash here Saturday morning. I like that you're taking the underdog here in Michel. I think I'm leaning that way as well. Honestly, although Anthony Hernandez, Fluffy, does have a clear path to victory, it's going to be getting Michel on the ground, neutralizing his offensive game, potentially finding a submission if possible. Fluffy with a 12-2 record, approaching his prime, or I guess in his prime now at 31 years old. Without knowing if there's any injuries, anything like that, you just assume they're both 100%. They're both coming in ready to rock and roll. The thing with Michel is he's such a unique, explosive athlete. Like, there's not a lot of guys that can do bat flips that look like him, I guess, just on planet Earth in general. But then when you just watch his outings, and like you mentioned, man, he's starting to put it all together the right way. Beating a Ihor Pateria, beating the Michael O, Petrosky, Santiago, Ponsonibio, Andre Fialo, Nico Price, like all are guys you actually know the names of if you're probably listening to that at this point. But if you don't, those are all staples in the division, and he's taking them out, submission, rear naked choke, TKO. I mean, last three are all by finish. I respect Fluffy's wrestling, man. That's the only thing. I thought Roman Kopylov was going to go in there and take care of Fluff, but Fluffy said, "Hold my beer." I'm going to go ahead and give him the end, like on the squeeze, and gave him the RNC submission win over Roman Kopylov. So is Michel as one-sided, I guess, as one-dimensional as some of these guys? We're going to end up finding out, but... Ah, man. Now that I say that out loud, like, it makes me feel like I'm almost leaning with our boy Stardust a little bit more, in the sense that Fluffy can probably neutralize the boxing or just minimize damage there. And then if it goes to the clinch, if it goes to the ground, then that's all she wrote. But for five rounds, it's going to be tough now. That's interesting. Oof. I'm going with Michel. I'm going with the underdog, but I wouldn't be surprised if Fluffy gets it done.
Five rounds is what makes me, like worried. So jump into the chat real quick. I did ask. So our new viewer, Stardust Fire, which shout out to the new viewers and the old viewers alike. We really appreciate every single one of you folks. And Stardust, I hope you hit that like and subscribe button, my friend. So they are betting on Hernandez. And they said money line. So I asked them, are they doing money line or are they doing another way? excuse me. If you're doing money line, I don't mind that. I think money line on Hernandez might be the way. And then let's see here. What if we do inside the distance on our guy Pineda? What does that look like? I feel like that's nasty odds. Where's the double chance here?
Let's see. I know. There's only
it so is many. +140.
Not too shabby.
That's actually not that much better than the +114, so I wouldn't risk it. You know what? I was going to try and find a way to hedge your bet. Oh, Stardust. Let's fucking go. Been sub for a while. We appreciate you. Appreciate you. I was trying to find a way to better hedge that bet for you, but I mean, if you wanted to hedge it with Michelle, but I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
I feel like sub or decision for Hernandez might be a fun one to sprinkle on. That's plus 650 odds. And I do think that if he gets it done, it's probably gonna be a submission or a decision. But also,
yeah,
maybe stick with what your heart says, because he could also catch our guy Michelle coming in and getting gas and just catch him with a flurry of shots to really hurt him early on.
It's, you know, anything's possible, might be a safe bet. You do got to go. Yeah, good, safe bet. Maybe your first gut or first instinct. Yeah, I think that's probably good. Go with that.
So I don't know if you have any live parlays that you've been putting together on the show. I've been kind of stringing some stuff together here. We didn't go through this or rehearse anything here. So just kind of on the fly. Elise Reed, like I said prior, I like the fifth of a unit on her. Again, one unit gets you 1.54. So why not put a fifth on her? Cameron Smotherman, plus 360 odds. I mean, just a dog. Like, why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah.
Kind of do a fifth of a unit on him. One unit gets you 4.6. So, again, a fifth of a unit gets you just shy of a whole unit here. Hobby Fanch, plus 350. Too easy, bro. Like, I don't think we'll ever get Rob Font at plus odds this good again in our fucking lives, folks. So, I'm going to do a whole unit on Rob Font. I'm all in on him. I'm all in on Rob Font. He's one of my fantasy picks for a reason, right? So give me Hobby Fanch. I think that jab is going to be just a great, great differentiator for him. And then last but certainly not least, we got Michelle Pineda, plus 114. You know I've got to do a fifth of a unit on the young man. One unit will get you 2.14 on this guy. Again, it just does not make sense to not do it at this point. Sign me up, kids. Sign me up. And then let's see here. I feel like maybe I remove the weakest link from this. And then I do a parlay. So I'm going to take the Smother Man off. And then we're going to see here. If we add Elise Reed, Hobby Fanch, and Michelle Pineda on a three-legger, we get plus 1,383 on the odds. So that's one unit to get you 14.83. So one unit gets you just shy of 15. You know what? I'm going to put a half unit on that.
I like it.
Yeah. I'm going to do a half unit on that. I think that's a really, really solid play. Is it like the most confident I've ever been in a three-leg parlay? I'm not going to lie to you folks and say yes. It's just not true. But is it the least confident I've felt in a three-leg parlay? I'm not going to lie to you guys. It's just not true. I've felt a lot less confident before. So I like this one. Michelle Pineda, Rob Font, and Elise Reed to get it done. All money line bets at a half unit. Come on.
I like where your head's at, brother. That makes sense.
For a half unit, you're getting more than seven units back. It's
good. It's worth the squeeze right there.
Yeah. It's a good one. We've hit on some of these like kind of far-fetched parlays before. I feel like they're kind of our bread and butter, and then we end up playing with house money for the rest of the year. So I think this might be one of those. If not, we'll probably cook some stuff up for UFC 308 post-production, and we'll post those on the Twitter. Either way, folks, please, as soon as the episode wraps, do us a favor. If you haven't already, make sure you like, comment, subscribe, smash that bell for notifications, and please leave us a comment in the actual comment section after the post-production wraps. It helps with the algorithm, the all-powerful algorithm. And the most important thing that we really, really hope you do above all else, folks, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, fight fans of all shapes and sizes, is this. Keep on going and keep on growing, folks, and we will see you next.
You've been listening to the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter. As you may have been able to tell, we dig the MMA, and our passion is to dive deep into the upcoming fights, give you our expert breakdowns, and help you make sense of all the chaos that is the fight game. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, make sure to find us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch at MMAnomaly. Be cool, and we'll see you next time.